Good morning and welcome to this, our Palm Sunday service. It is lovely to be back with you after a little bit of an absence. I am awake, I promise, and I'm doing my best. It's a great joy to be able to say thank you to all of you for your many cards and messages of support. And those of you that have been particularly astute looking at the date on the calendar will recognize that today marks the day that Alfred Samuel turns 1 month old. And so it's a real delight and a joy, and at some point I'm sure you'll all get to meet him and see him, and I have to say, I might be biased, but I think he's very cute indeed. But it's good to be back with you for this, our Palm Sunday service, which begins the week of Holy Week. Throughout Holy Week, we've got all sorts of things happening. There's at least one thing each day. Do check the Pew News or the emails or the website for what the times and details of those services are. There will be Compline services Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. There will be a Maundy Thursday service here on Thursday, and Good Friday meditations as well, before we come into the joyful celebration of Easter Day. If you are able to, I invite you and encourage you to come to as much as you can. If you're only going to come to one thing, my suggestion would be to come for Maundy Thursday, that moment of reflection of the First Communion that really sets up the symbolism and understanding for how we engage with the whole of the Easter story. But we're not yet at Maundy Thursday. We're not yet at the cross. Hopefully, on your way in, you have each received a palm cross. Is that the case? Do you have palm crosses? If anyone does not have a palm cross, please go and collect one during the first hymn. And speaking of the first hymn, this morning I'm delighted to say that our worship is enhanced and improved and joyfully filled by the Tiger Club Band, who will be playing with us and for us. And also later on in the service, we'll be doing something a little bit different from what we normally do. And I say that as an encouragement of joy, not of fear and trepidation. So let us stand and sing our first hymn, led for us by our band, There Is a Redeemer. Thank you. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Together we say, Almighty God, to whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I invite you to take in your hands your palm crosses. Think of how flimsy they are in your hands. You can bend them, they're lightweight. And yet, the thing which they symbolize is the power of our salvation. It is the glory of God. So let us pray as we hold these palms, that they may be a sign of God's victory to us. God, our Savior, whose Son, Jesus Christ, entered Jerusalem as Messiah, to suffer and to die, let these palm crosses be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life. He is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our collect prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Remain seated to hear our scripture readings.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Psalms 118, beginning to read at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made the light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us respond to these readings by singing our next song, number 189, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna in the highest.
in the highest. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, taken from the gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you shall find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away, and they found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. They then brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who were following were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? A triumphal entry, this story of Palm Sunday, is possibly one of the most familiar ones for Christians. Jesus, the wandering miracle worker from Galilee, rides on the back of a colt into the city of Jerusalem, marking, as we now know, the start of his final week before his death upon the cross. For us, it marks the beginning of Holy Week, the final week of Lent before Good Friday and Easter Sunday, when we celebrate his resurrection. And it can be easy for us to let the days run away with themselves, to get swept up and skip over the happy celebrations of Palm Sunday as we reflect on the Last Supper and the dramatic events of next weekend. Yet I would like to encourage us to slow down, look around, and reflect on a couple of the elements in our scene. We join Jesus and his disciples as they are walking towards Jerusalem. It's a pretty significant walk. Unless you've been to Israel, it can be really hard to form a mental image or a map of the distances that Jesus and the disciples walked. Since chapter 8 in Mark, with Peter's declaration that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus and his disciples have been walking from Caesarea Philippi all the way down to Jerusalem. To put this into perspective, I went on to Google Maps and spent some time looking at distances. And I've discovered that this would be the same as walking here to St. Margaret's in Tyler's Green from a cathedral in Norwich, where I was ordained. Naturally, they made several stops along the way. It didn't happen overnight. And as he went, he was preaching and teaching and healing. But now, after a lot of walking, they've made it near to the Mount of Olives, about as far from Tyler's Green as just this side of Amersham. As they make their way towards us, Jesus sends two of his disciples ahead into a nearby village, which was likely to be in a similar position as Hazelmere is to us, to borrow a colt, a young horse or donkey, more specifically, one that had never been ridden before. Some wonder about the arrangements for the colt. How did Jesus know that it would be there? Well, there's two alternatives. either because it had already been arranged, and that's simply not included in our story, or it's a prophetic act by the Son of God, the same one who fed the 5,000, healed the deaf, the blind, and the lepers, who did many other signs and wonders. And personally, I'm fine with either option, because how the colt was acquired is far less interesting than the significance of the colt itself. Because riding into Jerusalem on a colt would have had a particular connotation for the Jews who were with Jesus. We have to remember that Israel was under Roman occupation. Soldiers patrolled the cities and the roads. The Jews who lived there felt as they were living under yet another foreign power, oppressing them and ruling the holy land which God himself had promised to Israel. They would have known the words of the prophet Zechariah, who, having said that the Lord would allow no oppressor to overrun them again, declares, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare I will restore to you double. On that day, the Lord their God will save them, for they are the flock of his people. For like the jewels of a crown, they shall shine on his land. For what goodness and beauty are his. And look, here comes Jesus, riding humbly into Jerusalem on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I'm sure that Jesus was not the first man to ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, but he wasn't just any man. John writes in his gospel that after Jesus had fed the 5,000, he had to hide from a crowd who not only believed that he was a prophet, but wanted to take him by force and make him king. As we read Mark's account of Jesus' walk from Norwich to Tyler's Green, from Caesarea Philippi to Jerusalem, he starts with some disciples. Then the crowds gather in each village and town he passes through. And wherever he goes, they follow him. And by the time he was leaving Jericho, which would be roughly where St. Albans is for us, he was accompanied by a large crowd. A large crowd walking through occupied territory. Territory that the Romans would defend zealously and violently if needs be. In Mark chapter 10, we're told that as they walked on the road to Jerusalem, Jesus walked on ahead of them, and the people were both amazed and afraid. We don't have a lone traveller or merchant riding on a donkey into town. We have this Jesus, this prophet, journeying to Jerusalem with a large crowd in tow, who then gets on a colt and is riding into Jerusalem. More than this, he specifically requested this colt. This is not a case of people mistakenly thinking that it looks like Jesus is kind of like the king from Zechariah. This is an intentional act on Jesus' part to not so subtly make a statement which would mean everything to the Jews watching, yet which perhaps might not seem like much of a threat to the Romans. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. When I say it would mean everything to the Jews, it would mean everything. They spread cloaks and leafy branches, the leafy branches represented by our palm crosses, on the road, while those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This should be a familiar phrase to most of us here, as we say it each time we prepare to receive Holy Communion. Having said that the Lord is here, we lift up our hearts and that it is right to give thanks and praise to God. And the priest invites us to say with all the company of heaven, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, because we remember Christ coming to Jerusalem, to the place where he offered himself once and for all, as a sacrifice for our sins, that we might be forgiven and receive eternal life. But why did the crowd say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? They shouted it because they knew the words of the prophet Zechariah. They understood that by riding a colt, Jesus is entering Jerusalem victoriously, triumphantly. And because they also knew Psalm 118, a song of victory. I won't read the whole of it, but here's the highlights that would have been in their minds. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and become my salvation. We bless you. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Jesus humbly rides on a donkey into Jerusalem, and the crowds recognize the significance. And they sing and they shout references to this song of victory. This has become a festival, a celebratory event. And that's why they line the streets with palm leaves, and not just the street, but more specifically, the path that leads to the temple, to the altar. Jesus has been on his way, and the crowds were amazed and afraid. But now they sing and dance as he makes his way along the path to the temple. And it would be easy for us to skip ahead onto the next part of the story, to move into Holy Week and on towards the cross and resurrection. We know that that is coming. We know that soon crowds of people celebrating will become crowds of people condemning him to death. But today is Palm Sunday. Today is the day that we celebrate that Jesus has arrived at the temple. He has arrived in style, and he has arrived with a question. We have imagined that Jesus' journey was taking him from Norwich to here. So where you are all sitting, and where we are worshipping this morning, is for us the temple in Jerusalem. Our passage ends with him entering the temple and looking around at everything. Suppose that Jesus was to ride into church on a donkey right now, and he looked around at all of us sitting right here. What would he see as he sees all of us? As he afterwards gets to meet each of us, to share tea and coffee, and find out how we are doing. Jesus arrives on a donkey as a symbolic way of declaring his identity as king. Do we think that he is a king? When we read scripture and when we listen to the team preaching on Sundays, we hear these stories of a man called Jesus who was born of a virgin, who turned water into wine, who opened the ears of the deaf and the eyes of the blind. We encounter this man, Jesus, who prayed over some bread and some fishes and fed thousands. We watch as he walks on water and commands the storms to be still. He debates with the religious authorities. He eats with the wrong kinds of people. He tells stories, stories which puzzle and amaze, stories which give us a glimpse of heaven, glimpses of the kingdom, glimpses of a love which is altogether more profound, more sincere, and more beautiful than anything we've ever experienced before. Do we believe that this man Jesus is king? Do we believe that he is a prophet sent from God? I believe that he speaks with the words of eternal life, because I believe that he is not just a king, but the king who is above all kings. He is the Lord who is above all lords. He is one with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, who was before all things, in all things, and who has made all things. And I believe that he is the king of all of the heavens and the earth. He is a divine king who rides on a donkey into a human city, to a human church here in Tyler's Green, to encounter us with humility. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. This is Palm Sunday, and we are gathered to receive Holy Communion, to eat and drink the bread and wine which are for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We prepare to do this in remembrance of our King, who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And in remembrance of this, we are this morning going to make a journey ourselves. Those who are willing and able shall take up our palm crosses, and once the Eucharistic prayer has been prayed, we shall process around the outside of the church and come into Jerusalem through the gate, which is for us the vestry door, and come here to the rail, which is the temple in Jerusalem, to meet with God himself. A journey which blends our worship with imagination and symbolism, to remind us that each time, every week that we come to the rail, following the king who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, we do so as sons and daughters of that king who has paid a royal ransom for our lives and who loves us with a love which is stronger than death itself. We know that Good Friday is coming, but let us today remember that the crowds who walked with Jesus to Jerusalem were not just afraid of Roman oppression, the hardships of life and the reality of all that is bad in our world. Society and our lives may be difficult, yet they were amazed at this Jesus who walked with a quietly assured confidence, climbed onto a colt and entered Jerusalem as our promised Saviour and King. As we remember those crowds shouting Hosanna, and celebrating Jesus' arrival at the temple, may we join with them today and say with meaning, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
On this day, Jesus entered Jerusalem, not as a great warrior, but riding on a donkey. The ultimate sign that great leaders can lead with humility. A servant, not a tyrant. Lord, let us learn from his example. Lord, in your mercy. Paul tells us that those with power and influence, not to use it to oppress, but as Jesus did, to serve. Jesus taught us servant leadership. Lord, let us cherish his teaching. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
The humility Jesus showed on this day should be a lesson to us all every day. Lord, how our world needs Christian humility as never before. Self-righteous arrogance, hatred, and cruelty are everywhere. Lord, let the example of Christ's passion inspire us to better ways. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we weep for the victims of evil leaders the world over, in Ukraine, Gaza, Haiti, Sudan, and too many other places. We ask you, Lord, to show your love to victims, even in the depths of their despair. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
As we approach the climax of Christ's journey, we ask you, Lord, to help us understand his ways, his example, his teachings, his leadership. As Paul reminds us, we are here to serve. Lord, in your mercy. In a moment of silence, let us think of and pray for those known to us who are facing life's challenges, illness, loss, worry, depression, despair, loneliness. And Lord, we pray for King Charles and the Princess of Wales as they recover from serious illness. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us with confidence stand and declare together our faith. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also
let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Our hymn is I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts are satisfied. I will give my life to them.
As we come to a time of Holy Communion, I invite you to sit and I'll explain how we're going to do this. Would you please be seated? The Communion prayer will continue on page 7 with Eucharistic prayer 2, but with a bit that I have here for Palm Sunday included within it. When we get to the end of Communion in terms of the prayers and have said the Lord's Prayer together, including the breaking of the bread, i.e. up until the point where I invite you to come and receive, what we're going to do is those who are willing and able will take up your palm crosses, and I will grab this cross here, and we will take a journey in our imaginations, but physically around the church, coming from here out this door, around the side on the path, and coming in through the vestry. And then those following in will come and join to either receive bread and wine or a blessing. Those who do not feel up for a journey around the outside, you will be able to hear me because of the microphone. We'll be doing a call and response as we make a joyful noise going around. And I invite you to join with me in those responses. So if I say, Hosanna, respond, Hosanna. Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Blessed is he.
Blessed is he.
Who comes in the name of the Lord.
Who comes in the name of the Lord.
So we will do that as we go around. And then those who stay in here and join in that way, once everybody has finished receiving, then come up in the normal way. Please do come and receive communion or a blessing. By doing this, it helps us to imagine and to engage with the Lord who walked so far to die for us. And so, remembering all that he has done, let us bring our prayers and praises before God. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you praise. Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For as the time of his passion and resurrection draws near, the whole world is called to acknowledge his hidden majesty. The power of the life-giving cross reveals the judgment that has come upon the world and the triumph of Christ crucified. He is the victim who dies no more, the lamb once slain who lives forever, our advocate in heaven to plead our cause, exalting us there to join with angels and archangels, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup. We thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and magnify and glorify you forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. And so we pray as our Saviour taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, in earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. And so, let us take a journey to the table, remembering that the Lord came to journey with us in all that our lives contain. May he be with us and bless us. Those who wish to follow, I invite you to take your palm crosses and stand and prepare to follow me. Hosanna!
Hosanna!
Blessed is he!
Blessed is he!
Who comes in the name of the Lord!
Who comes in the name of the Lord!
Hosanna!
Hosanna!
To the King of Kings!
To the King of Kings!
Hosanna!
Hosanna!
To the King of Kings!
To the King of Kings!
Blessed is he! Who comes in the name of the Lord.
Who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna.
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 To the King of Kings.
To the King of Kings.
Hosanna.
Hosanna.
To the King of Kings.
To the King of Kings.
Blessed is he. Who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he. Who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
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 To the King of Kings. To the King of Kings. Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. To the King of Kings. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
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 Hosanna. To the King of Kings. To the King of Kings. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. 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 To the King of Kings. Hosanna. Hosanna. To the King of Kings. Well done, everyone. If you want to filter through. Obedience died on the cross for our salvation. Give us in the mind to follow you and to proclaim you as Lord and King to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Having made a journey to meet with God, let us pray together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us stand and sing our final hymn, In Christ Alone. So we come to the beginning of Holy Week. Do not let us rush ahead too fast. Let us linger in the story of that week, of the events that happened. Let us see what God is saying to us through them. Thank you for coming on a journey with me today. I described the journey from Caesarea Philippi to Jerusalem as being like coming from Norwich Cathedral to here. You might not realize it, but it is a year ago this weekend that I came and interviewed and was chosen to come here and be your vicar. And it has been a complete blessing and joy every step of the way. So may I leave you with that as a blessing as we head into our first Holy Week and Easter together. Christ crucified, draw you to himself and find in him a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. And let's have a big thank you for our band who have helped us this morning. Thank you very much.